Well, the chief economist at a free market think tank, the New Zealand Initiative, says state spending needs to reduce to pre-COVID levels. However, he questions blanket job cuts in public sector agencies. Eric Crampton joins us now. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Let's start with the first bit of that. Pre-COVID levels, why does it need to go back to that?
Well, if we look at the size of the state as a fraction of overall economic activity, that's a better way of measuring it. So we've had population growth, we've had inflation. You wouldn't want to be targeting the same dollar value of spending as you had prior to COVID. But we've increased from about 28% of GDP, so about $28 out of every $100 of economic activity prior to COVID was core crown spending. And we are now projected to be at about $33 out of every 100. The large amounts of spending that were needed during COVID, that crisis has passed. And if we're not able to retrench after crises, then that leaves us in a worse position come the next one. Because if everyone expects that it's just kind of a sneaky way of increasing the size of government overall on a permanent basis, it's going to be an awful lot harder to get broad-based consensus for staffing up to deal with.
Well, I mean, it's hardly, I mean, you're alleging that it was sneaky?
If people expect that we're going to have a permanent increase in the size of the state every time we have some crisis to deal with, and we always wind up having some crisis to deal with, you're not going to be able to have the temporary staffing up that's necessary to deal with it, or that would be best suited for dealing with it, because everyone will expect that we won't retrench after the crisis.
It's,
we've had a massive
increase
in the size of spending.
Interesting question, this idea of permanent. I get the point you're making, but yes, COVID has passed, but we live in a vastly changed world, a more complex world when you think of things, just the impact on health and mental health and the long-lasting effects there. I mean, what's permanent? I mean, you could argue that a lot of these things are necessary now.
Well, you could argue that, and you could argue that after just about any crisis. After the Christchurch earthquakes, there were mental health effects. There were a lot of longstanding things, but we were able to get back to a normal level of spending after it. And if you look now at the structural deficit, well, COVID hit everybody. It didn't just hit New Zealand. And New Zealand went from having one of the best structural balances. So what I mean there is, in normal times, the Public Finance Act says that government should be spending no more than it takes in taxes. And by normal times, I mean if you're not in a big recession and if you're not having a large boom, right? So in 2018, we had the seventh highest structural balance. We were in surplus. It was great. Now we are next to last in the IMF's World Economic Outlook. So we're 32nd of 33 with a large deficit. It's pretty substantial. If the government wants to continue this level of spending, they'll have to be increasing taxes.
You could argue as well, though, that if you looked at the Key government, they ran a series of zero budgets, and Christchurch earthquake was a big factor, and they did well to get a $18 billion deficit back to, you know, sustainable levels, that they also massively underinvested in infrastructure and in a lot of, you know, really crucial public investment that then meant there was a big catch-up required.
Well, I think it's important to distinguish between sort of normal spending and that long-term infrastructure investment. I wouldn't be counting long-term.
Well, no, let's keep it to health. I mean, the argument was always from Labor that National did not increase health spending at the rate of inflation, therefore under and spent over a long period of time, and then they had to play catch-up.
Well, you can look at a lot of these different arguments. The Public Service Commission put out some new figures on staffing across the public sector. They've updated them for December. I was a little bit worried about the numbers previously. I'm more worried about them now. Some things you can look at, for example, you'd expect with population growth that the Department of Corrections, you might need to have more prison guards if you've got more people, some increased fraction of them. Even if you keep the same fraction of people going to prison, you're going to need more prison guards as population increases. Look at a department like the Department of Conservation. The size of the conservation estate hasn't really changed. That shouldn't be increasing with population. If you look at the stats, though, from 2018 through 2023, the Department of Corrections is basically the same staffing level once you adjust for population, but the Department of Conservation has blown out. So they've gone from 2,100 to almost 2,800 staff, with hiring another 250 just in the last couple of months. Mm.
But presumably that policy decisions, right?
Taking the piss, right? Because you've got they know that they've got an incoming government that wants to reduce staffing. You might be tempted in those circumstances to staff up in anticipation of cuts, and then you can expect that the media will cry that, oh, it's terrible, we're having
really?
These horrible cutbacks. Oh, my God. Well, you guys have done it with the Ministry for Pacific People. They had a massive staff up. There have been talk about a 40% reduction in staffing numbers. That would leave them with far more staff than they had even in 2020. Okay,
if that's a pretty cynical position to take. That you're suggesting that they're deliberately hiring staff.
Now, I think it's more you guys who have failed.
What do you mean? What are you talking about, you guys?
Radio New Zealand has failed repeatedly to provide the context of the increase in staffing numbers over the past 4 years when talking about proposed reductions in staffing numbers. It makes a huge difference if you're having a 40% cut in staffing in the Department of Corrections. That would be horrible because we have not had a large staff up there. They wouldn't be able to stand it. If you're in another ministry that has tripled in size, and then you're talking about a 40% cutback, that's a huge difference in context,
sure.
And that really needs to be made clear to listeners. Otherwise, they just don't get it.
Okay, no, that's good. You've made that clear. But surely the why has to be important here as well. I mean, I get there has to be a good reason for that increase in staff numbers. Now, that's got to be important as well, presumably. And if it's conservation, then we can look at predator-free. You can look at a whole lot of policy decisions that have been made on behalf of the New Zealand taxpayer to do more about conservation, if that's what they want to do.
Well, we did have a large make-work program with Jobs for Nature, right? So that had been set up in 2020 when we were expecting pretty horrific unemployment outcomes, and the government decided at the time that it made sense to run some make-work programs, particularly for maintaining staff in tourism. They put them over into some conservation work so that tourism would be able to get going again afterwards. Well, that's all gone, but the program continues. And, well, people should, I guess, be able to judge whether the quality of services have increased commensurately with the increase in cost and increase in staffing. It's pretty hard to see how it has.
Mm. Just finally, the issue of blanket cuts. You do have some concerns there about, you know, how you run the scalpel over the cuts, because if it's blanket, you might end up cutting things you don't want to.
Yeah, exactly. So you wouldn't want to be, if you had insisted on the same percentage cuts in every department, then you would be punishing departments that held the line on spending and tried to be fairly responsible and giving, if they had too much money, give it back to the Crown for using for other purposes. You'd be punishing those ones relative to departments that massively staffed up over the past 3 years, some of which made sense over COVID, some of which should have already come down since the end of COVID, or at least since the big COVID crisis. You don't want to be rewarding those who were doing that over the past few years, and you would be if you had the same level of cuts across the sector. It also invites then chief executives to try and target cuts to the most politically sensitive areas so that the cuts that are made are in the areas that the public would like least and cause the most pushback. It will take a lot of work by the ministers to go down through all the programs that are being delivered, which ones could see some reasonable scaling back and which ones the government might want to just stop doing entirely.
All right. Thank you very much, Eric Crampton from the New Zealand Initiative there.